Hello, welcome along to episode 7 of the Watch Along Suspicion Edition. 7! That means we've only got one more left after this. We're gonna make every second count though, with the most incredible guest this week. One of my most favourite people in the world, Mr. Kunal Mayar, who of course played Adesh on Suspicion, as well as, like, you know, 12 years on The Big Bang Theory playing Raj. He was in Criminal, which he was nominated for a BAFTA. Which, if you haven't seen Criminal, it's amazing. It's on Netflix, and that's a British series, and he might tell the story, but that kind of led to Suspicion, so it's very cool. Him and I had a few different connections before, but we'd never met before doing the show. Yes, I was. And so it was so lovely to meet him and kind of find all those mutual people that we knew, and he's just amazing. And I'm really excited, actually. I've had a bit of a, not hectic morning, but just busy. Oh, forgot my wedding ring. Just busy morning. I had a audition. Fun fact, you know, you kind of film the scenes and then you edit it together and then you send it off to your agents. And in editing it, I realized I have chia seeds in my teeth. So we don't have time to film it again. And, you know, the part's either mine or it isn't. With or without a chia seed. So unleashing my inner wolf and just sent it off anyway. So I'm already sort of ready. I'm already extremely caffeinated. And I just feel like that was my point. I feel like Kay is just such a wonderful, calm presence and so grounded that I feel this is gonna be really great for me. Hopefully it's great for you as well. We're gonna be watching episode 7 that was directed by our wonderful friend Chris Long and written by Nick Leather. Here's the tagline. Vanessa and Scott investigate Martin Copeland as the suspects try to hunt him down. Catherine risks everything in a shocking interview. So that just sounds great, doesn't it? And it's a great episode for Adesh, who Kunal plays, hence me badgering him to be on the episode today. Of course, he so kindly said yes. He's so busy. I mean, my gosh, is he a busy? Yeah, so I've only had a tiny little bit of my coffee left. I made a full cafetiere French press, as you will, today. So yes, in need potentially of some cool, calm vibes as we watch one of my most favorite TV shows of all time. Suspicion! For those watching, this is my Superman and Lois mug. They gave it me when I directed an episode. I got so much swag from that show. Amazing, amazing. Especially for me as their biggest fan. Anyway, I love you so much. Thank you so much for being here. Let's get on with this. I'll see you on the Zoom. Hello everybody, welcome to the Zoom portion of this Watch Along Suspicion Edition, episode 7. Oh, episode 7, I've got 8 fingers up. 7, with the amazing Kunal Mayar, who of course plays Adesh on the show Suspicion. How are you, Kay?
I'm doing great. It's so nice to see your face across this platform.
Across the platform. Thank you for being here. Right, let's press play because, you know, we'll natter. So for everybody watching along with us, we are paused where it says an Apple original, which is...
I just pressed play though.
Oh my God, you just did it right. Okay, I'm pressing play. 3, 2, 1, play. Okay, fine. I did say let's press play. You were very...
I'll give you... 5 seconds.
Okay, now I'm at Gloucestershire.
Okay, so I am 2 seconds behind you.
That's okay. Oh, no. I like being ahead.
Okay, we're good.
Makes me feel good. Oh my gosh, here we are. You're in sunny LA. I'm in grey Atlanta. So just before you get on the screen for this episode, because obviously we've seen a lot of Adesh up until now, but can you say a little bit of how you came to do Suspicion?
I finished Big Bang in April 2019. I wasn't necessarily looking to jump back into something, but Chris Long had I'm a big fan of. Are we skipping intro?
Just let it run. Right?
So Chris Long, who directed and sort of showran the series along with Stefan Schwartz, gave me a call and said, hey, look, there's this show based on an Israeli show called False Flag. I think you'd be great in it. and I watched False Flag and I loved it. And I've been a big fan of Chris Long since The Americans. And I thought, okay, this will be nice because it's, the storylines are not, I'm not on screen in every scene. We'll be shooting in London. On the weekends, I'll take the train to Paris. Maybe we'll go to Spain. It's only 4 months. And it's not a horrible time of the year. It's a bit cold, but we'll get out and really enjoy Europe. And I'll get to act in something different, obviously from Big Bang. So I said, let's do it. And at that time, it was just me and him, and we would get and not we, but I was, I think I may have been one of the first parts of the show. I don't mean that in any other way. I think that was the way it fell into
You
place.
were,
And
yes, you were.
then the show came into fruition. We started shooting. And then, as you know, in the end of the, I think in the second or third week, we shut down for COVID. And then we came back to shoot in October to get the show back on its feet. And of course, we were not allowed to leave our houses. So what was supposed to be 4 months, nice job after Big Bang, enjoy Europe, ended up being 1.5 years of lockdown hell. I'm very grateful that we got to work during the time, but it was very difficult being away from family.
Yeah, and in deepest, darkest winter of London is no joke.
I mean, waking up and not seeing the sun and going to sleep and there's no sun, I don't understand like how I just it was just you guys were the only light. I mean, literally that I had was being around you because there was it was so absolutely
Great.
horrific. It was grim. It was horrifying. I just it was I was like laughable. Also, it was lockdown, it was like scary.
Well, and that's what was so that was our solace, wasn't it? And we were so lucky to have that we all got on really well, because can you imagine if we didn't laugh all day between takes? It would have just been a very different experience, and I think I probably wouldn't be
Yeah.
like, hey, let's watch this show again. I'd be like, no, let's put this show to bed. But one what you will never say is that because you were the leader of our cast, you set such an amazing tone and such a brilliant attitude of, listen, we're all in this together. This isn't quite what we thought we were signing up for, but like, let's just dig in and let's go. And you, that could have gone
I
a
have to
different
tell,
way, you know, you could have sequestered
sweet of you to
yourself.
say. I have to tell the audience, to whoever's watching this, that there is nothing glamorous about shooting this show. I mean, we were like, I mean, in the fifth episode, when we were in this cottage, which is the first thing we shot when we came back out of the pandemic, not episode 2 or 3 or 4, we went into episode 5, where we were holed up in this cottage for 3 weeks, which I swear to God was haunted. You think of Hollywood like shows, stars, like there's like waiters and butlers and like you have, take out all the yellow Skittles and I only want the red ones. I mean, there was like tea and biscuits. I mean, there was tea and biscuits. That's what we, and there was no heaters. And at night there was no lights in the dressing room. It's not even a dressing room. It's some dead woman's house. So there's like, you're probably in her bedroom with her ghost overlooking you. There's no heating. There's no. I thought it's gonna kill me. But I mean, there was eventually because I made a fuss. At least give us heating, you know?
First day we walked in there, and it was you and me, because I would say we're the geeky ones and kind of always on time or early and kind of annoyingly there, being like, hey, so we're gonna do this. And we walked into the house and we were looking for Crafty, which is, you know, where you get your snacks and
Crap,
your
so yeah, we get
coffee,
all the
craft
food.
services. And I cry every time I think of this story. We found where Crafty was, and there was a tea urn. And I was explaining to you what a tea urn was, because
Well,
it's
for the
a
American audiences, they may not know. Oh,
well,
wait, this let's
exactly.
see when I confront him.
Oh my gosh, yeah, let's talk about this. I'll tell you all what a tea urn is afterwards. So we've just seen Ardesh go into follow Eddie into a restroom and overhear a conversation. And this was a huge part of the reason why I asked you to do this episode today, because we've seen this wonderful friendship with Eddie and Adesh, and you know, them really put their trust and lives kind of in each other's hands. And then you overhear this conversation. How was this scene to do? We're in real New York at this point, so that kind of plays into it differently too. How did you?
I mean, it was really fun to do this scene. I remember doing it a couple of times, and oftentimes the note I always get is take it down a bit because you don't want to get caught. You know what I mean? And I was really angry, so much so that Chris would say, "Hey, it looks like you could beat him up." And Ardesh is not that guy. Like, he doesn't have sort of the violence in him, you know? So really, it's more hurt and less angry. And it's a subtle thing as an actor to play because the easier emotion is anger. It's an easier emotion. Hurt is a more vulnerable emotion to play because I don't know. The hardest thing for me always as an actor is to I don't do it intentionally, but to not look in a position of power. Like, a vulnerable position is a very naked position to be on screen. It just is. And it's you fighting against a human sort of instinct to control the situation, but when you truly give in to vulnerability, you're out of your it's a loss of control, right? So, oh, that's my dog just sneezing
Oh,
casually.
bless you. And so you
And it was,
like that? You enjoy that moment, though, that
I
feeling
think
of
it's
total surrender?
I think it's do I enjoy it? Yeah, I always enjoy finding the truth in any scene, whether it is anger or vulnerability. What was really enjoyable about this scene is working with Tom, who, you know, Tom's one of these guys who is so talented but doesn't know it. Like, he doesn't really know. And he's so, I'm very, and Elizabeth can tell you, I'm very mechanical in the way I approach my craft. I've always been that way. But Tom's one of those guys who just has this incredible natural ability to just be absolutely present. And some people have this gift, and he is one of those guys. So doing the scene with him was really enjoyable because he was so quiet, just in his. Just the way he was. He was so quiet, and I had nothing to play off of almost. Like, he wasn't giving, well, that was the joy, that he wasn't, like, he was, as that police officer undercover, was not giving me anything.
Yeah, he was just trying to make the situation be
Just,
resolved
yeah, he was
quickly.
so calm. And in that moment, you saw kind of his training, not his acting training, sorry, his police training, all the things that he worked on, because he was suddenly switched. And if you go back and watch that scene, he's really un Eddie, like, he's really mature in that scene. It's really an odd shift. So that was really fun.
I wouldn't say, I think we're very similar in the way that we approach stuff. I wouldn't say you're mechanical, I feel like is not the, like it's
Oh, I
from
guess
my
I know
point
what
of
you
view,
mean.
I would
Sorry.
say you were like
I'm more.
very prepared, you know?
I'm technical in the way I approach, the way I break down scripts and the way I look at characters and the way I approach it. Obviously, when they yell action, I hope I'm completely present, right? So that's really all that matters. But here's another scene that's coming up where we're on the streets. What you don't see is there was a crazy guy on a bicycle parked one day who wouldn't move.
Yes, remember? We had to
He
pay
just
him to
showed up and he
move.
wouldn't move. Yeah. So this is one of those scenes where again, I got that note where I really go go at him, and I was told, "Don't, you know, because you look like you're gonna hit him." And we did a couple of takes where I was really going after him, and this, and it just didn't work.
It's lovely though to. Oh, go on.
Ardesh never worked when I went in the direction of anger. And it's not like I was trying to, but I'm saying that there was so much frustration in this character that, but when it teetered to teetered on anger, it just didn't really work for the character. That's all. Sorry, what were you gonna say?
No, I was going to say sometimes it's really lovely to go there in terms of anger or emotion, and then to have the note to say pull it back. It's an easier transition to take that and then kind of push it down and like concentrate it, then I think it is to get a note to say go bigger, because if you go bigger and you've got nothing to get big, you know, it's not strong enough to be bigger, then you're kind of in trouble and it doesn't look like it's authentic. So I just feel like, and it says a lot about your kind of attitude to work, and the character is like, you're gonna go for it, and
Yeah, I
they
mean,
can
you're
bring you
right. You're
back.
so astute saying that, right? Because you can always, like you said, you can always bring it back. And it's a, when I watch myself, I have a lot, I really talk when I act. I just have always been very expressive with my eyes and my
People
mouth,
are
and
though, like you are,
I,
that's
I love
But
that.
you see a lot of what I would say, modern day, especially some of the younger actors coming up, a lot of modern day acting is literally this. Everything just lives here. Like everything just lives here. And it's not right or wrong, and there's nothing, it doesn't matter. But when I talk, this is how I talk. This, I'm very expressive in the way, and it's not like, I mean, I did Criminal for Netflix, and when I did Criminal, I that was a very, very specific choice to be absolutely still, because being still is a position of power. Whereas this character was very much, you know, I didn't do it. Like every time I felt like I got to get back into character, I was like, tell the truth. I'd just be sitting there like this, you know.
Yeah, you had
So,
like trigger words that would get you into the
yeah.
accent. Because that's also
Yes.
a big deal to do such a different accent.
Yeah, I mean, the accent was very interesting because I thought, to be honest, I thought it was going to be easier than it was. And it wasn't. Because people think that accents, when you, especially as actors, it's just pronouncing words. But it's actually not just pronouncing words. It's also cadence of how sentences are formed. The
Yeah.
musicality of the British accent is very different than the musicality of my, I don't know what my accent is anymore, American, Indian, British anymore. I don't know what it is. But the musicality of an accent is also very different. Like, you know, it's like the British, like they talk like everything's like a butterfly, just right here. And Indians, we talk like really in the back of our throat, right? Hey man, what's going on? Let's go party, shardy. You know, everything's like back here. So it the musicality is something that really took time to understand, you know.
Yeah, and British, there's no sort of British accent. There are so many regions in
You're
England
like
that have
yours.
different accents. Yeah, we have, and it's
Like
subtle,
the
and
north. The
yeah, up
north. How do
north,
you
up
say
north.
north?
Up to north. All my vowels are different, even though so it meant that then, you know, there were times if we had been chatting for a while that that
Yeah,
would
I
then
started
affect
saying up instead of up. I'd say up. What is going on up there? What? It's like.
But that's such a subtle difference. Sorry, my it's just stopped playing on my TV. It's just gonna catch up. It's on my I'm just gonna put it on my phone. How about that? Hang on.
I think that what's interesting about accents too for people who are watching right now is that it's more important to be completely truthful as what you're playing than it is to get the exact accent completely right. Because if someone is completely engrossed in your character, they're not going to be like, whoa, you mispronounced that word, or oh, you know, like accent police. I
Yeah.
mean, there, I'm sure there are people like that, but predominantly you just try your best and then play the truth of the character, you
Yeah,
know.
totally. Oh, sorry, hang on. I've just switched this over onto my. There we go. Are we in the van on yours now?
No, we are with Martin Copeland. Oh, we just got into the van.
Okay.
Now we're in the van. Where exactly are we going? That's actually that's
We.
a line from the play, from the
Oh.
movie.
Oh no, hang on. I'm not. Oh my gosh, mine keeps flipping around. But yes, I know what you mean about accents and that you. I don't. Who was it that said Tom Hardy said that he never does a specific accent? I feel like I've read somewhere. He just does what
Is
feels
that why he
right.
sounds like
And
that?
he doesn't worry
This is
because.
mine! It's
Yeah,
like
there you
this.
go. And it was great. Because if you
Yeah.
try to be perfect, that's not human. No, like I don't, like you said, my accent is, I don't know, Indian or British and a bit American. It's like nobody has the, you know, we're all a product of our experiences and our journeys. But I think you did amazing. And partly I think it was because you just allowed the character to be what it was meant to be. Whilst having this perfect accent, but like with these imperfections of, well, he was, you know, maybe was brought up speaking like Hindu
Yeah,
too, or
I
whatever,
didn't.
you know.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't pay attention to so much to all of that stuff, you know. And we
Yeah.
had a great accent coach in Jan, and she was incredible, you know. But it takes
Yeah.
work. It takes work.
Yeah.
I practiced it a lot. I practiced it with. I would get into taxi cabs in London and just talk to taxi cab drivers,
Love that.
and that was a really great way to practice the accent.
Yeah.
Because I would just strike up conversations about COVID or anything, and you know,
Yeah.
you talk, and then that was a great practice. But remember, I worked all this, it got better as the show went on, too. Just because you're around people
Yeah.
and you're hearing it, and it just got better as time went on.
Yeah, and
I
you
got felt
found
more
character.
comfortable.
Yeah. For anyone that doesn't know, London taxi drivers are like a whole section of society on their own. They're kind of just a special breed of incredible human, and they have no filter often, as like a
No.
stereotype, and they know everything about everything and have the most like thick London accents often. So that's a brave thing to do, because I feel like if they didn't believe you, they'd call you out.
This is interesting. Where are we right? Have you? We've now we're in the van. We've reached the.
I
We.
feel
I'll tell you
like
where we
I'm
are.
out of sync with you now.
We're backing into that sort of shipping yard.
Oh, okay, right. So I'm there too. So this
Should I tell you
van
guys
is
a?
amazing. Yeah, you
I'll
go
tell you
on.
a funny story about this. So when we're shooting this show, when we were shooting the show, this was like our last, almost our last, the second last week in New York. We're almost done, and
Yeah.
so Chris Long, the director, had some cuts of the episodes that he
Oh,
was going to submit,
no.
and he said, "Would you guys like to watch some?" So we sat in that van in between takes and watched almost the entire series until we had shot. And there's a great photograph. My phone, I'm watching this thing on the phone that I have to pull up, that you
I'll
should
pop
share
it
with
up here
everyone,
because I have it. Yeah.
of all of us just like this in
Oh,
the van watching our own stuff, obviously staring at our own face. The weird thing about actors is all of us, like, forget actors. If you look at a photograph, a group photograph, you always look at your own face predominantly. You never look at, like, you're not looking at any other thing that's going on other than your own face. And you're like, oh, that angle's weird. I have this line here, man. Why did that
know.
line? It's unbelievable. So if you think that actors don't go through that, you're wrong. All I do is looking at my, wow, when did that start? Oh,
Yeah.
40. Okay, it's coming.
I know, but that was so lovely to have that experience together, because as soon as the show was done, we kind of all went to our four corners of the world. And this was, that we were, I mean, it's so funny because I watched these portions. Like, this episode is predominantly shot in New York, and that was
Yes.
we'd wrapped London. I think we had what, like 6 weeks off, and then we had 3 weeks in New York. New York was open. We could go to bars, we'd go to
Oh my
restaurants. And,
God.
it
Out
was
of
so
control.
fun, out of control. So I just feel like, oh my gosh, I look so different, because I just know I'm like, had a few glasses of wine here and there. Whereas in
No,
London, it was like, just porridge and water
for
because
the
you couldn't really do
audience
anything.
watching, Elizabeth is an incredibly, incredibly sort of dedicated and disciplined human being. I can't say that about everyone in this cast,
Sure.
but we had a great time. I
We
mean,
did have a
again,
great time.
there was this real sense of, you're right, New York had opened, and there was a sense that we're coming to the end of what had been such a horrible 1.5 years for all of us. So New York was great fun. Great fun.
And just the locations we got to go in, and like, this place was real. That everything that you're, it helped so much to be really in a warehouse that was in the middle of nowhere with like mud and puddles and cranes. And it was, oh yeah, this is basically where we watched it, where we
Yeah.
watched all the things. But what I meant to say before I got sidetracked by my own brain was that it was really lovely to watch with each other, because it really felt like there was this kind of, it was a really safe space to watch it. Because yeah, we all watch it going, oh my gosh, sort of being confronted by our own flaws and critiques. That's obviously what you see first. But then to
But we're also each
be
other's biggest champions.
exactly,
We were
yeah, she was
always
going,
like,
oh, that was awesome, and da, 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 and you kind of go, okay, well, I guess maybe it was, I don't know, that's fine.
I think what was cool about this show for all of us, especially this episode, all the episodes really for us, is I'd say predominantly for most of us actors on this show, it was the first time we were doing this really big sort of. Every episode felt like a Jason Bourne movie.
Yeah.
The shots were big and the budgets were big, and I guess big, it felt like you were shooting a really big budget movie. And at
Yeah.
least for me, I can say personally, that was a first experience. So, you have a huge camera coming on a crane like this, and you have a drone on a camera going that way, and then you've got a camera tracking like this. So nothing was like It was really a whole production. And it's, as an actor, it's a really good experience and education to still be able to hone in and have an intimate moment when around you is an entire circus of camera work going on. And I'd love to hear your opinion on this, obviously, as a very accomplished director in your own right, like what that experience was for you, seeing it at such a different, as a larger scale, I would say.
Yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it? I think it's that... It really, I don't know if kept me on my toes is the right word, but it was like being at a fair. It was just kind of the, you know, we don't get to see the prep work that goes into the show. We just turn up and everything's kind of set up and it looks like it's easy. But then you see there's, you know, five police guys that are taking us across the, when we just saw the van go over the bridge, it was like, that was, we had police cars in front of us, behind us. I feel like at some points we were flagged by, you know, police guys on motorcycles, and you had to stop all the traffic. It's like any take was, you know, the setup time was like 35 minutes to get back around, because then they had to close off each road that we were going down, because we weren't just a van. We were a van with like a crane on another trolley attached to us. So there's one part of you that goes, oh my gosh, I'm at Disneyland. And then there's the other part that goes, well, the pressure's on, because if you don't get your line right, there is so much money. I mean, you can just hear the like coins being dropped every time. So it was fun. It was like this adrenaline rush, and then you got to be in the place that our characters were. Like, so many of the shots they used were wider of us in the van talking to each other like our characters would talk to each other, passing that, like, there's just no green screen in it.
No, that's the crazy thing. There was it was all real. We shut down the FDR, which if you're not familiar, it's a major highway network along the river in Manhattan. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember now, but I think we had to shoot it at like 6 a.m. on a Sunday or something like that, because it was the least amount of traffic. And when we only had it till 1 p.m. and we were just going back and forth on the FDR watching the sunrise, and it was really beautiful. But yes, you're right in terms of getting it right, because the pressure is on. You know, I wonder sometimes when I watch these big Marvel movies, you know, a lot of that stuff is shot in front of a green screen, and there's a monster coming to you, and you're like, you know, it's like,
is this your audition behind for a Marvel movie right now?
Yeah, exactly. It's like this, like,
yes, oh my God, I'll send it to some people. I know a guy.
And then and there's like this green screen, and then there's a fan blowing your hair, you know, so it feels like, you shall not pass. And then it's just, but we, sorry, I don't know why I was just thinking, like, well, we actually were in real places is my point.
No, and totally, it really helps. Right.
It also helps as an actor. Like, it helps the texture of what you're feeling and what you're experiencing, obviously, as opposed to, you know, if this was shot in front of a green screen. And it looks rich. It looks real. It looks, you know, texturally, it looks very rich and alive.
Yeah, it does. We had the most amazing DPs as well. So we just saw the kind of the section where we're in the warehouse in the van. Sean's just gone off and shot the person that was potentially sent by Copeland to come and, you know, take us or kill us or whatever. And then we are questioning Sean as to what's really going on here. And he, in a minute, is going to want you to hack into Copeland's emails again or his server. I feel like we see, or maybe we've already seen that because here the guys come, but it feels like with Adesh in this episode in particular, for me, it seems like we start to see the shift in him of going, he's extremely valuable now to Sean's whole plan. And it's like, I don't know if it's from when you caught him with Eddie, but it does feel, there is still the vulnerability there that you talk about. But for me, like, even now in these few looks that you have, it feels like there's an awakening of his power almost. Were you aware of that potential shift, or is that just me kind of?
Yeah, I mean, that's really, you should have been my acting coach and that would have been great. But No, to be completely honest, no, I didn't feel at all a shift other than maybe in the towards the end of episode 8 when you're giving your glorious speech and like, you know, maybe you're right, maybe this is what they've wanted and this is what we should give them and this is the only way out, because even till then I'm still like, we can still, because there's still this belief that I can still go to the police, you know, like
Yeah,
we can still
yeah,
go to the police.
yeah.
But there is what I think was being experienced by the character is just this sort of growth, this sort of, maybe that's what you're sensing at, like this
Yeah,
strength, this
yeah.
I've seen people be shot, you know, and now
Yeah.
I'm a wanted criminal. And there's a real evolution that takes place. You just harden, you get hardened
Yeah,
quickly when
yeah.
your life is in danger.
Yeah.
So we can sit in a cushy house and feel anxious and
Yeah.
like, oh my God, I have everything, but I'm miserable kind of thing, you know. But when your life's really in danger, you don't actually feel that miserable. You actually
Yeah.
become very awake and aware, and you get ready to do whatever it is that you have to do. In fact, when you're in danger is the most present you'll ever be,
Yeah,
right?
wow.
Because you
Yeah.
don't have time for your imagination to take over. You are just
Yeah.
in action mode. So
Yeah.
that's what you see from these characters, I think all of them, that they all have their own, obviously their own objectives, but they're all in action mode.
Yeah.
You know, you see Adesh towards the end, he says, it's a beautiful line, and again I was asked to bring it down a little bit, but it was when he says, you know, why us? You know me, you know, I'm not the bad guy. You know I'm not the bad guy. And there was a real heartbreak in that you've destroyed my entire life knowing that I'm good. You know,
Yeah.
you took the only innocent thing here and you just destroyed its innocence. It was
Yeah.
a really lovely moment.
Dedicating so much time to, because you never, it feels like to me at least, you never do anything unintentionally in terms of your work. You know, you have very specific projects under development. You choose roles very carefully, I feel like. And like you said about being mechanical or methodical, or just, you know, you have a very invested approach. Like, where do you think that comes from? And what's your kind of drive to, because you could coast, right? Like, you're in a point in your career that you could just not dig in
Host
anymore.
host a game
Coast.
show. Host a
Oh,
game show.
host,
That's
you could
what I
host.
got. Host a game show.
Host a game show. Yeah, I know, I meant coast. Like, you
No, I
know.
know. Sorry. You know, I don't know. I think some, to be honest, I think some of it culturally comes from being Indian. I think we grew up, our education system is such where it is very methodical. You know, sort of when I came to America and I was in a calculus class in college when I was 18, it's the calculus that I was doing in ninth grade. So I think that there's a real sense of our
What?
education. Yeah. I've never been good at calculus. I was horrible. And I came to America and I was like getting straight A's and I'm like, what is happening? And I think that it is this, you know, when our sort of our elocution classes and our dictation and the amount of emphasis we put on sort of an old, how do you say this word in English? We say in the recta. Recta means like memorizing. You memorize a lot. Like you have to memorize poems in English class and then repeat them, and your
Wow.
pronunciation has to be correct. And when you know, you guys grew up with log calculators, right? You could look up log in your calculus. We had log books. We had to look through numbers to look at the log number on something in math. So I think maybe some of that comes from the conditioning that we had of our education. And also some of it comes from, you know, whatever you do in your life. If you're a musician, you train. If you are a dancer, you train. For some reason, when people think about acting, they decide they can just know how to do it. And I never understood that. For me, it's a job I take incredibly seriously. And yes, it's a job I love doing, but it's a job. You know, I want to be the first to show up and the last to leave, and I want to garner some goodwill and equity in this business by doing a good job. It's important to me. Like I take it seriously because it's important to me.
Yeah, and that's, I can attest to that 100%. And I think that sets such a wonderful tone for, or at least for our show, because it allowed us all to have this strong work ethic, but then also like have a good time and mess around,
Oh
right?
yeah,
You
we had
are
a
an
really
extremely funny person. It wasn't, you don't have to be serious to be like on your stuff, you know?
Well, like, you have to laugh at a show like this because you can't always just be like, I think about like Grey's Anatomy. Like, I wonder what on
life
Grey's Anatomy must.
Yeah.
What every scene, someone is weeping. Right? I wonder what that must have been like, what that experience is like. It's a very different experience.
Yeah. Week in, week out.
Like, remember you're weeping.
Hotel? Weeping.
Yeah. Oh, this hotel.
So beautiful. Oh, yes. Zach and I just went and stayed in this place in New York, and I was sick the whole time, but I was like, walked
in. You stayed in this hotel?
Yes, that's the thing. He was like, let's go, because we were just meant to be in New York for a night, and then we ended up being there for a week because I got sick.
What's it called?
The Intercontinental, the Barclay. It's, yeah. But we called it, oh my gosh, what's it called? We called it a different name.
The Park Madison.
Park Madison Hotel. Oh my gosh, well done. Yeah, we stayed in it, and I have like stolen some stuff from the set of this because it just looks too cool to not. Like the stuff from the hotel doors. It's actually trippy when you go into the real hotel. It looks exactly.
I didn't even. Yeah, I guess I forgot it was a real hotel.
Yeah. So well, that lobby. It's because it's confusing because the lobby was real, but then you know the rooms like this where we're seeing Catherine Newman. That was all a set in London.
Have you gotten to the point where I'm typing? If you watch any
I'm
of
at
my
the
typing,
point now. Yeah.
It's so bad. It's like no human in the history of hacking has ever typed like that. And I'm like, what am I doing? And also, why didn't anyone tell me?
I didn't even think about your typing.
I'm literally like this typing, like in every scene, like, like no one ever typed. Like, this is no one. Like, you should type, then look, search. Literally, I'm just like this.
Yeah, but where's your screen also? It just looks like you have a thing on your...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Where's the screen that you're typing? Oh, no, it's
no,
there.
I think it's like,
on the table.
Yeah, it's a little... But I'm just saying, like, stuff... That stuff just drives me nuts.
Like, you know, I've never seen a hacker
in
real life. But any
no,
hacker
but
I
just...
see on TV, it does do that. Just make it super quick.
Every hacker or computer person on television and movies has always typed like that. But I guarantee you, in real life, no one. It's like a bad commercial for like a sort of sexist 1930s secretary commercial. You know what I mean? I'll teach you how to type.
You're such stereotypical hacker.
Oh,
but it's perfect. The thing is, if you typed any differently, it wouldn't have looked right. The stakes are too high for you to be looking at
I
your
guess
hands
you're
on
right.
the screen and up and down, you know? Chris exactly. would have told you. He wouldn't have worried about telling you if he didn't think that that
I think
good.
Stefan did give me that note once in the fifth episode. He was like, hey, can you just slow down on your typing? I was like, yeah. It's like, just type a little. Stefan Schwartz, I'm sure you've already heard about him, but he is the most soft-spoken human being in the world.
In the world.
And because he's wearing a mask, he would come to, and he always pauses before he gives a note, and he puts his finger like this. It's just brilliant. So he would come up to me like,
such a good impression.
And then he would be like, good. So a little more and just a little less, but same and more of what we did before. Yes. And I'm like, Stefan, what are you saying? I have no idea. He's like, yes. And then he was just brilliant. He was just so brilliant. He had such a lovely, calm demeanor always.
Yeah, always. And he was, I mean, everybody was under a lot of pressure, but him in particular, because he was it was his episode that we came back with. And I had him on for episode 5.
I never
saw
him frazzled.
Never. That's the thing, never. And so many people in charge, Darren, who was our producer on the series, I never saw anybody lose it, which is incredible because you realize it can be done in a nice, calm manner and you can still make fantastic work. And, you know, we were a very successful production in terms of the amount of shutdowns we had and people were super healthy. And,
you know we never shut down once because of COVID.
Yeah.
I got COVID the last day of shooting, but we had shot and I was on a flight back to LA. I came back home to my wife. I was like, surprise.
Oops.
COVID.
No, I didn't feel great. I know. Yeah. What a time. Hey. Oh my gosh. It just went out of my head. I was going to ask you.
The only thing that I really wish had happened on this show is it would have been really fun to have some scenes with Uma Thurman. I just, because our characters never cross paths.
I know. I wonder if that would have been different if it wasn't COVID, because I feel like they rewrote things
a bit more.
Oh,
really?
Don't think?
I don't think that it was, I don't even know where.
It didn't change.
How.
Yeah.
I don't know. You could be right. I
suppose it wouldn't have really, I mean, you never know, do you? But it was very separate. That's the thing when, you know, when we were doing press of like, what was it like to work with Uma Thurman? And you obviously, you know, what can you say? Because I did have, my first scene actually was with her. It was for the B-roll of me doing a speech that Vanessa Angel's character shows to me in the interrogation. So it wasn't really, it was like a very quick scene and she was in the audience and I was up on stage. But that's literally the only, like, I caught her eye, but that was it, you know. It was a funny, like, it was great to work with her, but we didn't really work
I think Uma didn't realize that I was also on set that day and came into my dressing room unbeknownst to her, and I was like, hi. And she turned around and said, hi. She was obviously aghast that there was someone there. And I said, hi. And for a sec, I didn't recognize her. I was like, wow, she's beautiful. It just didn't register to me. She's like, hi, Uma. It was like, Uma. I was like, oh, Kunal. Oh, and then we had a little chat, but that was it. And obviously, it would have been really fun to be in a scene with her, but you know.
I know. Well, and she's so brilliant in it. It's always such a compliment, I think, when you don't recognize someone. And I think you got that a lot when we were doing press for Suspicion, that people were like, gosh, I hardly recognized you because you're just so different. Was that a conscious decision, you know, to pick something so different from The Big Bang Theory, or at least from that character? Or did you want a different look, or is it just organic?
No, absolutely not organic. I mean, definitely thought out. You know, I was a bit worried with him being sort of cybersecurity experts, a little more on the nerdy side, and doesn't really get to have his moment. And I was a bit worried that. But, you know, I was very adamant that this character must look, sound, behave completely differently, because it's important to me. For myself, to challenge myself and see. And hopefully the next thing I do will be even more different. I don't know.
That was
definitely a choice.
Yeah.
It was definitely a choice.
It's indicative of, I feel like, how you live your life, right? It's very conscious. It's very, you always feels like looking for growth. And that's something that I think, you know, I aspire to do when I'm at my point in my career, when it's like calls are coming in more than they're going out. But you know, it's, you hope that you would be like that. You don't know if you would, you know, and you're continually doing new things, pushing yourself in different aspects. And
that's, it's a fine balance though, right? It's a fine balance.
Yeah. How
it's
do you
like
mean?
You want to, well, you want to be able to do the things you want to do, yet it's important to stay relevant.
Yeah.
I think that you can get so picky and so choosy that you just fall off the face of the earth, and then, you know, there's just too many good actors out there, and you want to make sure that you're still, your name is still part of that circle, because it's very easy to get lost in the mix. I mean, there's just so much talent. I want people to know that, like, you come to LA and you go to final callbacks for any show or any movie, and everyone is so good.
Yeah.
Everyone is so well trained and so, you know, perfect for the role, and it's just such a crapshoot. So I think it's a fine balance between, yes, I want to do the things I want to do, but also I want to work and stay relevant. You know?
Yeah,
totally. I'm happiest also when I'm on set.
Yes, you do. You are just magic on set.
Start going stir crazy.
For me, it's that really resonates what you're talking about. Of like, by the time you get to that final round, everybody's brilliant. And for me, that's when I really... and always really, but where kind of a spiritualness and a belief in something kind of bigger than yourself, or that, you know, you really, you know, the world is your playground. And as long as you realize, you know, kind of my feeling is like everything is going to work out perfectly for me. And it may not be the thing that my ego is wanting. It may be not getting the job is actually what's most important for my growth and my spiritual path, you know? Do you think Bodhirin genes kind of helps in that process of, you know, when whether to do a project or whether you feel like is a step to the side?
Not really. I mean, not for me. I think that is predominantly to sort of that part of my life is to just help people understand that they're okay being themselves. They don't have to continuously chase the chaseless chase, you know, because if you leave it up to your mind and your ego, it'll always be something else that you want.
Yeah.
But from an acting perspective, it's not so easy for me to surrender. Like when I really want a role, like I really want it. And I feel really depressed when I don't get it. That's the truth. I mean, it's the only thing. I really want it. And I go for it too. It's not like, and then of course I understand. But I also allow myself to feel bad if it doesn't go my way. I never say, oh, brush it off, something good will come. I always allow myself, it's because I care. It reminds me that I still care.
Yeah.
If I feel really horrible that I didn't get that part, it's because I care, because I want it.
Yeah.
You know, I care.
Yeah. And that's a wonderful thing. I think there's a balance there too, right? Of you have to allow yourself to feel like rubbish for a bit. And I have also learned that with other people going through stuff, like friends, when they don't get something, you have to allow them to feel rubbish. The same with, like, if you get dumped by your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, whatever disappointment comes in life, my initial instinct is to go, this is great because this, and this. And sometimes that's not right. You do have to sit in that, you know, discomfort. And then
where the growth is. If you put a band-aid on every time you felt sad, then you'd get all this toxic positivity, which is not real either. You know?
Oh my gosh, toxic positivity. I've never heard that phrase.
Martin Copeland's about to get shot, speaking of positivity.
So this was actually our last day
We'll get back to toxic positivity, but there's something really funny because when you shoot this thing, like he's got this, you know, rig that the special effects guy presses a button and it explodes and his heart, whatever, explodes and then blood stuff. But in one of the takes, it kind of exploded prematurely. So we're in the middle of the scene and it goes, pock! And he's like, oh. I starts acting all dead, you know what I mean? Because you don't get that many takes with it. And I am just like this. I'm like this. If you watch the scene, I'm like this.
Well, yeah, because it was such a shame. So a scene like this, when anybody, oh, there he is. He looks so good when he actually did it. But, you know, you're shooting it. And for the gunshot, you know, it's a big setup to put the device underneath a shirt. Then you need to have the shirt that's got the hole in, then the blood is going to go, there's somebody behind the chair pumping the blood, so the blood's going to go everywhere, you know, it's a big reset to get that back right, because he has to like get obviously changed, but then get all the blood off him and get dry, and then we have to rig it all up again and fill it in and do the pipe and have the person behind the chair ready to pump. So I think we had three. And then the first
second one,
it went off halfway through the scene and nobody knew what to do because it was, and he's like, you know, you shoot from so many different angles. And he's so brilliant. He's such an incredible actor. And he just, he went for it. He was like, okay, I'll die right now.
When it goes off and he's like, everyone's frozen. And then he's like,
the pause.
You see the back of my head like this, like.
That's the thing. They're always the most dramatic scenes. The setup is just like, it's ridiculous when you're trying to do it for real. Oh God! And that was our last day shooting before we broke up for Christmas.
What do you mean?
Wasn't it that scene? That was our last day before we broke up for the Christmas holidays, which was like a big thing to get to.
Wait, wasn't that in New York?
That bit? No, that was in London. Remember in that room, and that's where we then went down the corridor. It was all smoky. That was the last day before we finished.
Yes, it was. You're right. Forgive me.
Finished for the holiday. So it was like we were shooting this very
That's
dramatic scene
the
and we
day
were
I
just
got
so
COVID.
excited for the holidays.
That's the day I
Yes.
got COVID. I remember.
Yeah. Stuck in your memory. Oh my gosh, the episode is finished.
I know.
Kay, thank you so much for doing this. You're just
Thank you.
Such a guiding light for so many people. If you haven't checked out Butter and Jeans, do. It's wonderful. It's on Instagram, and Kay does guided meditations and just wonderful vibes. Like, that is
It's
just,
fun. I also
yeah.
tell you to go to Ibiza and dance on tables. I do it all,
But
but
that's the thing. Yeah, that is
yeah.
why it's brilliant, and that's why it really truly
That's
works.
so that's what I was talking about earlier about toxic positivity. I feel sometimes we're living in a society right now where it's so exhausting because by the time you've woken up, drunk your special mud water, and done your 1 hour meditation and written your 10 manifestations and then written your journal, it's like 1 p.m. and you're so exhausted that there's no you haven't lived at all. I'd rather you say screw all of that. Wake up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, go for a nice walk, hang out with your friends, have a glass of wine with your lover, travel, see, spread love. And I feel like there's so much pressure to do all of these things, but I think it's taking us away from our true humanity, which goes back to what I was saying, is if you're sad, it's okay to sit in your sadness. And if you're happy, it's okay to enjoy your happiness. But I just think that we have a lot more natural instinct for being ourselves than anyone else can teach us. So just be you. You'll be fine.
Oh,
It'll be
what an
fine.
amazing way to end it. Kananaya,
Yeah.
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Look who is here. Another wolf. I went to go and get her because she was scratching the door halfway through that. And I thought, oh, can I stop this and go and get her? But no, obviously not. Not the right thing to do. So she just had to wait patiently outside, not so patiently, still scratching on the door. I hope you enjoyed that. Gosh, mission accomplished for me. I feel so Zen and just like chill now. Gosh, isn't he brilliant? So much great advice and just a authenticity and a reality that he's so brilliant. Oh my gosh, he's calling me right now. One sec. That was Mr. Kanan AR telling me about sending me the audio file and that he'd done it. But that's the like that's what's so incredible about him is that he is just so successful, has achieved so much in his career, and he still cares so greatly about the details. And he's just such a great person and surrounds himself with brilliant people. Everybody in his life is just so lovely and genuine and just loving. Everybody he's connected to is just great. So he's just such a wonderful person to know because you'll go out for dinner with him or hang out, and there'll be, his wonderful wife there, who's incredible, or his friends, and he is just lovely and like normal, but like great, Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. There was so much in it for me that was just so cool, and it went so quickly. So hopefully, I think we did watch it. I feel like we referred to it quite a bit. There was a lot of tangents, which I feel is just the sign of a really great conversation. So hopefully that was fun. That's fun to listen to. I'm just remembering now that we didn't explain what a tea urn is. For those that don't know, it's a big drum of it's like a big metal drum with a like a spout on the end that you used to get water out of for drinks, and it's just filled with hot water. And so I don't know why that was so funny, but for whatever reason, explaining what a tea urn was to somebody that didn't know, like didn't get it was just so funny because it's so quintessentially British, those things that you just have never really had to explain because everybody you've been around knows what it is. It's like, think of the most mundane thing ever that you just use all the time and then explaining to somebody. I don't know, I just suddenly realized like, yeah, I guess this maybe this is a bit weird because it just it's just water that sits there, whereas I don't know, I feel like in America when you're making coffee or stuff, it's like each drink has its own bit of water that's heated, especially for it, that comes out. Anyway, rambling. It's because I feel so grounded. I just don't even know what I'm saying. Actually, that's the opposite of grounded. Anyway, never mind. I feel like my manicness has taken over. I need to speak to Kunal again. Get calm. Thank you for being here. We have one more episode left. How exciting. It'll be the finale of season one of Suspicion. Hey, thank you so much for being here. And I'll see you next time for episode 8 of the Watch Along Suspicion Edition. Lots of love.